Thank you for the nice intro. I wanted to thank Reverend Dean Mercado, my great friend, close friend, for asking me to share, and also for Reverend Jerry Carr, who really has entrusted many of us to do what we do, and really thankful for that. And anytime you ever have the opportunity to share God's word, it's always a privilege, always just a great moment in your life. It should be. And if you do it regularly, well, those are great moments in your life. So what I wanted to share on tonight is getting people back to God, the why we do what we do. Go to Revelation 21. Yes, I said Revelation 21. We're going to the end. So I asked a bunch of people who know about jokes and comics, is there a modern way to say punchline, right? So I heard that punchline still means punchline today, because I'm older. In fact, I used to be the baby in many things, but I'm actually the oldest one here. But I want to get to the punchline. I want to get to the end, not because it's our end, but because it's kind of like a reboot, the beginning. And it's something that when it comes to the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we got to hold it in our hearts like every day. That's one of the basic reasons why we do what we do and what holds us together, what holds your life together. And we'll see that. I wanted to also read an intro I wrote because I thought if I read it, it would probably be better than me just trying to remember what I wrote. It says, when I got in the Word and started to understand a little bit, then after a few months progressing to years, I started putting things together as far as the Word, as far as life, as far as people in the world, like the entire world. I realized that this was bigger than me, bigger than being part of a group, a clique, part of a ministry like Harbor Life Fellowship, nothing wrong, but it's bigger than just a ministry, you understand, that man puts together. Bigger than a group of young or older people. What is it? It's a movement of God. And if you're paying attention, and I don't mean just like now, I'm not yelling at you or anything, but if you're paying attention to what's going on, there's a great movement of God that you're part of, and you are vital. Your life does matter. It does. A movement in God's history, not man's history. You know, there's a lot of historical things that are great, but this is God's history, which is far greater. Yet, here we are as ambassadors for Christ to help people come back to God. That's one of our purposes in life, to know God, know His Son, and by way of you knowing His Word, you get to know you better, but also one of the greatest things we could do is help people come back to God, help people be free, be delivered, to have life. And there, we'll get to a little later, but there's a word life in the word that the Greek word is Zoe. And some people, you've heard that name, right? Beautiful name. It means life in all of its manifestations, the way God would have it. Body, soul, spirit. It's tremendous. And all of this is so we can communicate or express the word to people, but then to also remember that our lives have meaning. They should have the joy that comes with knowing God's word, knowing the truth, not a truth, it's the truth. And this is all to kind of set up and try to express the heart of this short little historical journey we'll go on. So Revelation 21, I got to get to it. Verse 1 through 5. And again, remember this as part of like, not necessarily the end, but think of this as the beginning of your everlasting life, because that is the truth. It says here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Think about that. You know, we're supposed to think about the word and dwell on it. But here it says that God is going to dwell with us, and they shall be his people. Isn't that so tender and beautiful? This is the future, folks. And the future is, talk about bright. I don't know if there's a word to describe how it's going to be, meaning it's going to be brighter than the brightest bright, I guess. I think there's a verse somewhere, and I'm sorry I'm saying it like that. I'm not joking, but that where God is going to be the sun for us, you know, the sun, S-U-N, where there's going to be no more sun or moon or whatever. It's pretty cool. It's good to think about these things. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He's your God now, and he's going to be your God forever, for the rest of your life, now and the one to come. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. You know, when you get dumped by your ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend, it hurts. Well, it's going to be no more hurt. No more hurt. None. At all. Like, no pain, no sorrow, nothing sad, no more. That's what's going to happen. For the former things are passed away, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are what? True and faithful. Well, you know, God doesn't lie, so if he puts something in his word, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It may happen tonight, by the way. He may come back, Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. We were going to do like a whole setup. There's a couple tattoos with this anchor in our audience, but we're not going to do that. We were going to have people like do a runway model stripped down. Not fully, just enough for the tattoos. We're not doing that. Hebrews, and you know who you are. I spoke to you before fellowship, but we're not doing it. So, Josh, keep the shirt on. Hebrews 6:18. You got to have fun with the word. Dean's a great example of that. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. See? Even his word says it. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope is set before us. You know, we believe now. We're believers. So anytime you hear that word hope used, it's not like hoping for something to come to pass. You always got to think, what does the word say? Hope is an expectation of a future good. And that hope, the hope, is when Jesus Christ comes back. It's going to be awesome. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, an anchor of the soul. If you know anything about ships, the anchor is what keeps that ship still, you know, in the bay or in the waters, you know, where it doesn't just drift off, right? Even like the old pirate movies and stuff, which I love, you know, they used anchors and they would just, it would, what? Hold them there. Well, think about this. The hope we have as an anchor of the soul. God says the hope is an anchor of the soul. Guess what keeps you still? What keeps you at bay? The hope. So the more we look to it, the more we understand what the word says about the hope, the more we can deal with stuff that comes up in this life. Because this life sometimes stinks, because we live in a world that is runway. Sometimes I say with my fellowship, the bad renter, you can't kick him out yet. But God will kick him out at one point. But that hope we have as an anchor for the soul, of the soul. And soul is just, you know, your breath life, your life, what makes you you. So that's what keeps that life that you have still. That's why you're able to weather storms. That's why you're able to go through stuff, because we have the word. And I love what Caleb shared this morning, you know. All of that is true, what he said. The hope is one of those things that keeps us still in those times where it's like stormy, you know. It's awesome. And that hope should be part of every fabric of our being. So now go to Luke 24. Now I want to share a little bit of how we fit into all this. So, you know, God, if we go all the way back to Genesis, right? made form created Adam and Eve, body, soul, spirit. They lost spirit because they kept living on physically, right? They still had body and soul. And then fast forward to this administration. It's an important thing to understand administrations in God's word, because it's, you know how God deals with man in that administration. And in this administration, we have Christ in. If you're born again, if you believe Romans 10:9, and you can't lose it. That's it. You know, you're heaven bound. That hope that's happening, we're going to be gathered. I mean, it's just part of the truth of God's word when you're born again in this administration. But we'll look here at a prior administration during the Christ administration, Luke 24. A little history of how we fit. That's the heart of what I want to share. Luke 24. Go to 36, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Now this is Jesus Christ in his resurrected body showing up out of the blue. It's like, of course, I think I'd be like them. I'd be like, what the hell is going on? You know? We might use other colorful words, but anyway. 38, and he said unto him, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. It's interesting. It's interesting what Jesus Christ says. He says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. I don't know if that's what's going to happen with us when Jesus Christ comes back, when we get new bodies and, you know, that whole thing. I don't know if it's, but here's an indication. Jesus Christ said, flesh and bones. This is his resurrected body. Verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, you got anything to eat? In his resurrected body. Now, if you like food, again, this is a good indication this might happen. The word doesn't say for sure, but Jesus Christ ate in his resurrected body. We'll see. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did what? He ate. He ate. Pretty neat. Just some indications. I don't know if that's what's going to happen with us. It doesn't say. But it's pretty neat that we can look at things that maybe you don't really look at many times. You go, wow, that's like a wonder that it's in the word, or an amazement. I still get wondered with it when I read it. It's just amazing. Verse 44, and he said unto him, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you. He had instructed them that this was going to happen, that he was going to get up, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you a promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. He's telling them, this is what you, in his resurrected bodies, you think he's got their attention? I would say yes. You know, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed with power from on high. You know, so he's instructing them, stay put in Jerusalem, you're going to receive power from on high, endued with power. Go to Mark 16. That's one back. So this is kind of like what's Jesus Christ is instructing them to do, which would, we'll get to it in a few minutes here, which would open up our administration, which is what? The grace administration. And it opened up on the day of Pentecost, Mark 16. And by the way, you know, if some of you like little history stuff, God's word has so much in it. It's so cool. But you know what's even cooler? It's not just a history book that happened, but how it relates to us. And that's really the heart of what I want to share and unfold. Mark 16:14 says, afterward he appeared unto them, unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's really judged. That word damned is judged. And these signs follow them that what?
Believe.
You know, when you believe God's word in a dynamic way, guess what follows? Signs, miracles, and wonders. And when that happens, it's like, whoa, what a day. Because it's not just words. It's where you see somebody healed, where maybe you raise somebody from the dead. You know, maybe Caleb Zero will come up to one or two or something. You know what I mean? That meter, that measure you mentioned this morning? Maybe. Yeah. Why not? I've seen it. I've seen it myself. I've seen great things that God has done. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues. Verse 18. And it says here, they shall take up serpents. It could be read as if they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And it goes on. But there's power. When we believe God's word and renew our minds to the word of God, there is power. There is power. We could bring God's word to pass, and miracles could come to pass as a result of you believing. Acts 1. So just like he instructed them, again, he's continued to instruct them. How does it relate to us? It's coming. It's coming. But you know what's so vital? That these men actually listened. I don't know. I can't say if they didn't listen or if they didn't follow, what would have happened. I don't know. It doesn't. But thank God they did, right? Because they're following God's word and Jesus Christ's instruction, which was God's word, has affected our life. So we're part of this history that we're going to read. We're part of it. And you'll see here, Acts 1, go to verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. We read that in Luke, remember? Luke 24. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. There is going to be something better than the water baptism. And you know, again, I'm not criticizing, but there's so many people that are still stuck at the water baptism. And we could share God's word more perfectly with them, with the love of God, like Tim. That was you could tell Tim, it's in his bones. That love of God is in there. Man, that's why sometimes you get choked up, and because you just, when it's part of every fabric, you just see how great God is, how delivering he is, how unreligious, which is one of my favorite things that he is, unreligious how God is. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. This is not a maybe. He's telling them, ye shall receive power. And there's two basic meanings of receive. You either receive something subjectively, like somebody gives me this water, I just received it, but I don't do anything with it, right? But if I receive this water, that's good. I'm glad it's up here. I received it and I used it, or I took it. You know what I mean? And here that word receive is to receive into manifestation. And what they manifested is good vibes. No. Power. There's manifesting. Everybody's manifesting on Instagram these days. The true way to manifest power is what the word says. 1 Corinthians 12. That water got me a little bit. But ye shall receive into manifestation power, potential power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria. That was all that part of that whole country and that region, right? Right? Yeah? And where? unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is God's vision. Well, guess what? What's this place called? Upper Black Eddy? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got that right. Unto the uttermost part of the earth. Back then, I don't even know if they knew that America or Jersey or Upper Black Eddy existed. They didn't, probably. But Jesus Christ told them, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And here we sit. We've got the same spirit that they were about to receive. About to receive. Go to Acts 2. And again, I stress that they followed what Jesus Christ instructed them to do. He had their attention in his resurrected body, but really, you know, they could have also just said, nah, screw this, I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. But they didn't. They followed. They actually followed. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with that Holy Ghost that was promised, remember? And began to what? They manifested by way of, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Man, when you speak in tongues today, it does a lot. It does a lot. It does a lot more than we give it credit many times, you know, or we think it does. It does a lot. That is power being manifested the right way. And you know what's really cool? It is the easiest thing to do. For me, I grew up speaking two languages, and when I spoke in tongues, I cracked up. I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing. Because I was like, this was a lot easier than I thought. Right? When you spoke in tongues, did you think, well, it's just moving your lips, moving your mouth, sounds come out? But how vital that this administration that we live in, this is the history now, that we live in, opened up right here. And the way it opened up, they received power from on high, like Jesus Christ instructed them, and they spoke in tongues. That's it, right here. It's the start of this administration. It's tremendous. Go to Matthew chapter 4. And later on in chapter 2, Peter gets up and stands up, and with boldness, you can read it on your own, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, they were kind of making fun of or mocking what that tongues was and all that stuff. And Peter stood up with boldness, like Tim shared. You know, sometimes you got to take care of things and handle things. And what gave him that boldness was Holy Spirit. Because not many days before, he was behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But he didn't care that day. He had Holy Spirit. He was free. And I tell you, when somebody gets born again and we bring them back to God, they become healed in that moment. Everything's washed away. You talk about reboot, that's a reboot in this life. When somebody gets born again. And we could be part of that, God's history of bringing people back to God. Now it's us. It's not these guys anymore, but we could do what they did because we have the rule book. We have the playbook. All we got to do is read it. Do you know, and I'm embarrassed to say this myself, I admit it. And I'm not being Italian. I mean, really. So this is what's addressed to us right here. Right? We've all read more than this in, you know, school and stuff like that and getting degrees or whatever we did, you know? That's it. That's it. Right there. You want to know how to live your life? That's it. That's all you got to read. I mean, the other stuff will help you too. You know, like, you know, thou will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is, you know, Isaiah 26:3 and other things do help. Do help. Proverbs, Psalms, they help. They help settle you. But my point is, what's directly addressed to us, I love it. I love it that God made it that simple for us in this administration. Anyway, where did I say? Matthew 4, verse 19. Could somebody read that? Oh, I didn't say. Sorry. Matthew 4:19. Somebody, anybody want to read it? Yeah, go ahead.
And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Now this is Jesus Christ early on with his, you know, disciples, apostles, and he told them, he gave them that vision. Well, I share this because really, in many ways, that applies to us here. That applies to us. We could be fishers of men. We could bring people back to God. Talk about being an ambassador to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and God, bringing back people that were severed from God. We could be fishers of men. You know, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And don't kid yourself. You know, you fit, somebody shared this, and don't remember who it was necessarily, but how the body fits, you know, how it's, how God put all believers in the body as it has pleased him. So in serving, in doing stuff, in, you know, doing this word, helping people, make sure you're checking in with God, because he could tell you not only how to help people, but how you fit. So your life does have purpose, does have meaning. I don't care if this is like the first set of teachings you've ever heard in your life or the 20,000th, if that's a word. It doesn't matter. God could always teach us, could always show us stuff, could always help us do something better to get to a person's heart with that love of God, with that love of God. And that's the great motivator, is that love of God. But there's also integrity of the word. Don't forget that. It's not just all love, 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 and then forget the word. You never can separate that integrity of the word from the love of God, the true love of God. And you see it, it's in how Jesus Christ lived, like we saw Tim shared. But 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. I love that this is in here, for not only for me, but I love that all of us could believe this. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What does it say here? Does it say the apostles have it? It says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We've got this Christ in, which God describes as a treasure. The place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. When you treasure something, don't you like take care of it, make sure it's clean? If it collects dust on the shelf, you make sure you dust it every now and then, right? You know what I mean, you protect it. If you lose it or misplace it, you're like, where'd it go? You know, you lose your mind because it's a treasure to you. Well, you know what we've got? The greatest treasure you could have. And you already have it if you're born again. That Christ in. That Christ. You talk about your life mattering. And, yeah. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. We've gone here a couple times already, but this is pretty cool right here. So you have that treasure in earthen vessel. Here is 2 Corinthians 5. We'll go to 17 through 19. It says, and this is in the context of the ambassadors, right? Verse 20. But I'm not going to read verse 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, just forget about your past. Just look not only to the hope, which is the future, but look to the new man that's inside now. Because when we look at that, we're better off than looking at our past or looking at the old man, yeah. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. I believe Dean handled this the other night, but think about it. God gave each and every one of you and me the ministry of reconciliation, that we can reconcile. We can bring people back to God that have been severed from God. Isn't that tremendous? So you talk about treasure. What God thinks of you is just, I don't know, it must be great, but his word says it, that he thinks that what you have inside is a treasure, that you are his dear son. And he has no greater joy than to hear that you walk in the truth, of his word, right? Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Man, we've got such a great honor, a great responsibility of holding this thing to not only this generation, but your life will affect lives that are going to come, that are not even born yet. Think about the apostles, their effect of following Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, how it affected us now. So what would make your life so different than somebody 100 years from now? The key is just keep standing, keep moving the word, and believe who you are and what God has made you to be. Colossians 1:27. And you know, I say this in my fellowship many times, how, you know, sometimes we forget stuff, we forget to buy this, we forget to bring the pillow for the camp, I don't know. I forgot the soap, but we got soap, don't worry, we're showering. Anyway, but one thing to never forget is who's inside you, and here it is. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, Christ in you. You are now the one on this earth that represents God and moves his word and does what Jesus Christ does. The word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, that's truth. That's truth. 1 John 4:4, you know, that's truth. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's Christ in you. How do you say it in Spanish, Drusa?
Cristo en vosotros.
Ah, vosotros. So it's Christ in you. I don't care what language you say then. It's still the same truth. Christ in you. Christ in you. Ephesians 1. And you could do a lot of great things with that Christ in, with that power, with that renewing your mind to the word of God. You could bring to pass the impossible. You know, it's just so tremendous, so great. Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and that word enlightened is so beautiful, it means to be illuminated, to bring to light or render evident, that we could pray about understanding spiritual things. Because of that Christ in, God will reveal when we need to know something, whether it's about ourselves or about somebody we want to help. You know, and that's really what a lot of the book of Acts is. They walked. They walked with that same Spirit of God, with that Christ in, healed people that were lame, you know, that never walked before, right? And other things that happened in the book of Acts is tremendous. Go to Ephesians 5. Now this is all about us. These are things we could do to represent God. Being his ambassador, things that you could do. When Dean Mercado spoke the word to me, I didn't want to give him the time of day because I had grown up in a religion that was hypocritical and fake to me. So I knew there was something better. I just didn't want to trust any man to give it to me. But I guess that's how God works, right? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And when I prayed this one time, I went into a church, 9th and Broadway, New York City, Grace Church, it was called, or still there. But the only reason I went there is because if you don't know anything about New York, it's pretty noisy, right, most places. So I was like, I just need a quiet place. I didn't want to go where we're going to school. I didn't want to go into the library because there's always somebody you know and you don't want to start talking. I just wanted to be alone. And there were three things that were going on at the time. Something with my family, girlfriend, and school. And I prayed, and I vowed not to tell anybody, not even to tell Dean, even though he would have helped me. I was like, all right, God, if you're real, I want to know. I'm yelling at myself. I'm not yelling at you. And man, that week, God just went, answer prayer. And I'm getting chills now remembering it. God is real. He is. This is not just a word. This is we could do. We could do. We could walk with him. We could bring that word of life to people and get them back to God so they can share what we're experiencing in a good way, like what you see, the love of God, so they can also get a taste of that, so they can get love, so they can get healed. And I wanted that, and that was it. I said to God after that week, all right, you got my attention now. And I started going to fellowship more faithfully, and that was it. You know, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You want to grow? Put more of the light on. And I love what Caleb said. Sometimes the answer is just that we need more light. We need more word in our hearts to just let it get in there. And man, it's so great. This life is so great. Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Well, we had a great teaching right before that, man, the greatest example, Jesus Christ. We're able to walk in love. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now, if those of you who know anything about English, this is past tense, right? Am I right?
Yes.
But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as what? Children of light. That's who you are, folks. In God's history and where we sit, our lives could have an effect for centuries. And you've got to see that. You've got to see that. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. And that means exactly, diligently. It's not a haphazard thing. It's not like, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, it's very diligent, very accurate with God. He may give revelation. It's like all of a sudden out of nowhere, which a lot of times that's how it happens. But it is very exact, very disciplined, and very, God gets to the heart right away. And we could be part of that delivery. Because we have that Christ in, and God could work in us. Not as fools, but as wise. You don't want to be a fool. Be wise. 1 Timothy 2. Couple more, and we're going to wrap it up, I think. 1 Timothy 2. And this is one of the things I'd like for you to set a vision on, is to see God's vision. 1 Timothy 2:4. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, again, our life matters. You know, we're just part of this. Really, it's God's vision, but it's great to have God's vision as your vision. That's for sure. That's for sure. 1 John 5. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 John 5. Remember I was saying earlier about that word life, Zoe? Here it is, verse 12. And you can read the context on your own. That's something that I really encourage that over the past few years I've really enjoyed so much is seeing how, where God, you know, puts certain things in certain verses that are so key and foundational. You read the context, it's like, oh my gosh, well, this is me, for me. Wow, I understand this better, how it sits in that context. But here, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. That's the word Zoe. Life in all of its manifestations. Folks, you have that Christ in. Guess what you have? L-I-F-E, capitals. Life in all its manifestations, the way God intended it to be. Just by you walking, you bring that life to others, where they can breathe again, where they can drink a glass of cold water in the desert, if you've been in the desert. It's pretty hot. Going to Texas, please pray for me this week, because it's been 100 degrees. I might need that water, but I'd rather give it to somebody else. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Tremendous. I think what we'll do is we'll close. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. So this is a very brief snapshot, but I wanted to set before you just a little history and how we fit in God's history, you know? Because it's so vast. I mean, there's so many other records you can look at and put together. But really, the basics is that believe who you are and believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. I love that God puts this here because it's very black and white as to one of the reasons why we do what we do. It says here, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment." And that is like, in a moment, that's like, the Greek word is atmos, that which cannot be cut into two. It's like, you can't even describe it. It's like the blink of a second that you can't even cut. It's the smallest, minutest thing. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. There will be no more death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he accomplished, this is going to happen. And we already have that victory. So if you're born again, you are heaven bound. And here it is, therefore. Why for the therefore? My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, in cement. That means you're just not budge. You're just still. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's just basically doing the word and serving the bread of life unto others. For as much as you know that your labor, your work, is not in vain. Vain means empty. You know what the opposite of empty is? Full. Your life is full of all this beauty that you can give unto people. That your labor, your work for the Lord is not in vain. It is not empty in the Lord. Your life has meaning, folks. Talk about ambassadors. You all are already. Okay? Love you. That's what I wanted to share. Thank you.